1 Corinthians chapter 6. I anticipated us being here, and I'm sharing these words from the Word of God. I trust that they will help us as we keep moving our way through this section. I want us to pick up, if we could, at verse number 15. Verse number 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be the one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Let the church say amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the music that we hear. Thank you for how it helps us. I pray that our hearts are prepared to hear from you and to respond, not just with an audible amen, but with a life that aligns to your word. Cleanse me of sin, Lord. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Help your people during this time to stick with the word and not in worldliness. Bless now the preaching of the word of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday night, we dealt with this thought, responsible appropriateness or a responsible approach. We talked about rights versus reasoning. In other words, just because I can doesn't mean I should. Well, I'm allowed to do it, but I need to live in a way that's expedient. I used to hear Dad say all the time, good Christians don't just live in a comparison of good and bad. They live in the realm of better and best. And you're going to have to get out of that mindset of, well, if it's not bad, or if it's not that bad, or if it's not illegal, or if I wasn't told I can't, then I will. No. You got to live in the realm of better or best. Is it expedient? By the way, not just expedient for me. See, selfish people only think about themselves. But a spiritual reasoning says, it's not just expedient for me that I'm thinking about. But what about expedient for other people? Does it benefit other people? We talked about how the body is for meats and meats for the body. We talked about how you eat to be strong and how God has ordained for the human body to be sustained by food and how food is there for us to eat. But that's not the same when it comes to fornication. God does not intend for the flesh to be satisfied outside of his design. Sex has been designed to be within the confines of marriage. And anytime it steps outside of that, it steps outside of the design of God. By the way, don't expect God to bless something when you're not doing it the right way. We got to quit this getting on our knees saying, God bless me when I disobeyed you. God does not bless disobedience. And be careful. Be careful, because when things happen as a result of fornication and immorality, and I'll tell you, I've often told young ladies, listen to me, you don't want to get in a situation where you're immoral and you're involved in fornication. Here comes the baby. You ought to ask God to protect the baby, but you don't ever want to put yourself in a position where you step outside of the protection of Almighty God. Stay under God's umbrella, and the only way to stay under God's umbrella of protection is to walk according to God's word. That sanctified restriction, the body's not for fornication, it's for the Lord. The Lord is for the body. And the supernatural resurrection, where we ended last week, God will raise us up just like he raised Jesus up. And by the way, according to his power, that happens through supernatural power. We're going to get up out of here. That body's going to get up out the grave. Of course, I'm hoping to go with the upper taker through the rapture. But if I pass away on planet Earth, I know that body is going to be raised to incorruption and immortality. And I'm looking forward to what's going to happen then, and it motivates me to what I need to live now. Responsible approach. Responsible appropriateness. Tonight I want to look very briefly at what I call regulated association. Regulated association. What is supposed to be hooked up together? What goes together? What has God intended to function together? Now let's look at these verses. Know ye not, verse 15, that your bodies are the members of Christ? My soul. I call this an unbelievable connection. Wow. We're members of Christ. By the way, you hear the term, the body of Christ. synonymous in the New Testament with local church. The body of Christ, the body of believers. God has set the members in the body as it had pleased him. Ephesians chapter 4, one Lord, one faith, one baptism in the body of members fitly compacted, joined together, one body. It talks about how if all were the hearing, where were the smelling? If all were the smelling, where were the hearing? Listen, your eyes don't do what your ears do. Your ears don't do what your hands do. Your hands don't do what your feet do. Your feet don't do what your eyes do. Listen to me. God has put us all in the body. Isn't it amazing? The body of what? The body of Christ. We are members of his body. It's an unbelievable connection that God, in his miraculous phenomena, could put together different members in one body called the local New Testament church. We have an unbelievable connection. Hey, you hear people that meet some celebrity or shake the hands of their idol or get a chance to get an autograph from a famous athlete, and they're like, I can't believe, and they said, I'll never wash this hand again, and I'll save this thing that was signed, and it was the greatest day of my life. I remember when I laid on the star at the Cowboys Stadium, and it felt like, oh, the glory of God was coming down. I thought it was the most wonderful, non-spiritual thing that I had ever done. Wow, 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 wow. But wait a minute now. When's the last time you let out a good wow, a good glory, a good hallelujah, a good thank you, Jesus, a good amen, or maybe just a good on the fact that we are connected to Christ in a body. God has connected us to him. He has connected us to each other. It is an unbelievable connection. Why are you saying this, Paul? Because I'm talking to a church that's not acting like it. You acting like you members of the world and not members of Christ. It's an unbelievable connection. The next time you decide an action that you're going to take, before you do it, ask yourself, is this an action that a member of Christ should make? Should a member of Christ go here? Should a member of Christ wear this? Should a member of Christ say this? Should a member of Christ think this? Should a member of Christ behave like this? An unbelievable connection. So what does it bring about? Here's the question, next question. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. You ever so emphatic about some things you say that you ask a question and then answer it before anybody can even say anything? This is what Paul is doing. Since you're members of Christ, shall we then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? Don't even answer. I'll answer for you. God forbid. Pastor, what's that? What do those two words really mean? I'll tell you what they mean. No way, Jose. That's what he's saying. Absolutely not. Shall we? Shall we take this unbelievable connection where God has brought us together as the body of Christ and take those same members and connect them with a harlot? What do you mean? Someone that is practicing fornication. Here's what he's saying. Should the believer be connected with fornication? If you are already a member of Jesus, should you be a member of sin? God forbid. What is Paul saying? I don't care what the world's doing. I don't care what they're doing on television. I don't care what the rest of the students are doing at school. It doesn't matter what the statistics say everybody is. It doesn't matter what the music portrays as normal. I don't care what's politically correct, what status quo, what has risen to normalcy. You are members of Christ. And when you are a member of Christ, starts being a member with harlotry and fornication, you think that's correct? Let me answer to you. God forbid. Thirdly, I want you to look at an unacceptable combination. An unacceptable combination. Verse 16. What? Your parents have said that to you? What? You say something that you know you shouldn't say. What? They walked in on a room that looked like Hurricane Katrina just come to. What? You put on something that. What? This is what Paul is saying to these practicing Corinthians involved in stuff they had no business doing. What? Know ye not that he which is joined in harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. This is an unacceptable combination. Here's what he said. When you engage in this sin. Now watch this now. Remember, we're talking about intercourse. We're talking about immorality. We're talking about something like sex that God has established. Here's what God said. This is something that God has established by way of intercourse to provide oneness. By the way, that's why he's reserved it for marriage. You remember what God said about marriage in Genesis? Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall become one flesh. Here's what he's saying. By the way, please listen, because there's a worldly ideology and a philosophy out there that they're teaching when it comes to immorality and sex that doesn't line up with the Bible. Well, it really doesn't matter if we love each other. It really doesn't matter what we think. It really doesn't matter if we're going to get married. We don't ever intend to get married, but that doesn't change the fact we're going to do. Let me tell you something. Paul said, when you yoke up together in fornication, you are putting yourself as a combination of oneness with that person. And shame on you, because you are not to be oneness with somebody that is not a child of God or someone that is practicing sin. Unacceptable. Please listen, church. We're already yoked up. Come on. I mean, can you imagine a man with a marriage ring on his hand and a lady approaching him saying, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you. I don't know about you. I'm pointing to, excuse me, I'm already taken. I already belong to somebody." A young lady with an engagement ring on it. Some guy goes up, "Can we go out on a date?" Excuse me. I'm already engaged. Let me tell you something. We're already taken. You can't be looking to be a member of somebody up somewhere. You already a member. Well, I'm a member of Crossroads Baptist Church. Well, you are a member of Christ first. And it's your membership in Christ that enables your membership in Crossroads. Anybody listening? We become one with that individual in sin. Do you want to be characterized by sin based on the fact you yoke up? Now look at this last one. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. This is what I call a unified condition. He that is joined to the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. When we hook up with Christ, amen, with the Lord is our master. The Holy Ghost lives inside of us. What know ye not? He's going to say in a few verses, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll be there in a couple of weeks. But here's what he said. Listen, when you yoked up with the Lord, when the Lord is the one that you're joined together with, listen to me, you are one. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Watch this. When I get saved, I become a child of God. When I get saved, Jesus becomes my Savior. When I get saved, the Word of God becomes my guide. When I get saved, the Holy Spirit becomes my comforter. When I get saved, heaven becomes my home, and the Spirit of God that lives inside of me, I now get connected with, I now get in communion with, I now get combined with. And here is my condition. My condition is a unified one. I am joined unto the Lord, and I am one spirit. Watch this now. God's spirit becomes my spirit. My spirit unites with God's spirit. I'm working in concert with him. Watch this now. I start wanting what he wants and start going where he wants to go and start doing what he wants. I will tell you something. There is no greater peace that I experience in my spirit than when I'm in agreement with God's spirit. You want to talk about what Paul says about grieving the spirit and quenching the spirit? Why would a child of God grieve or quench the spirit? A lost person doesn't experience grieving and quenching of the spirit. You know why? He doesn't have the Holy Spirit living inside of him. But when your spirit and God's spirit are in the right place, there's a peace. And when your spirit starts moving away because you're yoking up with something that doesn't line up with God's spirit, there's a grieving and a quenching and a convicting and an uneasiness about you. But my friend, when you're walking in the spirit and you're led by the spirit, you begin to please the spirit and you desire those things that will honor the spirit. And there's a oneness and a unity that God intends for us. Can you imagine being united in spirit with the Lord? Wow. I tell you, that's what we need right now when we can't meet together like we used to. That's what we need right now when we're wandering around in fear and uncertainty. That's what this church needs to hold us together. So we get past this. We're experiencing greater days than we ever did before. When every single one of us walks according to the Spirit of God and begins to let God speak through us and God lead us, and we say no to sin and we say no to foolishness, we're going to talk about next time. There's a oneness. There's one. I don't know about you. I want to be on the same page with God. I don't like it. I don't like it when I'm on the same page with something else, somebody else that doesn't line up with God. I don't like it when I'm not right with Him. I don't like it when things aren't. Do you? There's something about conviction. That uneasy feel. When God and I are not right. Paul said, this is where you are, Corinth. Could it be where you are, Crossroads? Where you are, Christian? You dating, hanging out, hooking up, kicking it with something that doesn't line up with God. And there's a combination. It's unacceptable. There's an unbelievable connection you have in Christ. There's an unthinkable communion to harlotry or sin. Context is fornication. Anything though, Christian. Paul begins to remind them of a unified condition. Well, when we're yoked up with God's Spirit, there's a oneness. And may God help us to maintain that oneness. That's what God's design is for us. And when it's not there, discipline that mess out, church, so that God can move like He wants to. Let's be a church unified with Him, so that as a result, we can be unified with each other. Father, thank you. Please help us. Please keep building us up. We love you and we praise you. Bless the remainder of this week. In Jesus' name. Amen.